وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ
Whomsoever we grant a long life, we reverse him in his constitution. Do they still not understand? Whomsoever we grant a long life, we reverse him in his constitution. What is emphasized here is that in old age one is reverted to the state of one's infancy. The elderly suffer from the same weakness, infirmities, and dependencies that mark their infant lives. Others help them to rise and put them to bed and feed them. They even lose control over themselves in such ordinary matters as answering the call of nature. Furthermore, they engage in foolish prattle, causing people to burst into laughter. In short, in old age, they revert to the same stage of weakness through which they had passed in their infancy.
وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ
We did not teach him, to wit, the messenger, poetry, and it does not behove him. This is none but an admonition and a clear book. We did not teach him, to wit, the messenger, poetry, and it does not behove him. This constitutes the Quranic rejoinder to the unbelievers' dismissal of the Prophet's statements about monotheism, the hereafter, life after death, paradise and hell, as sheer poetry. For them, these statements were as worthless as flights of fancy which one notes in poetry.
لينذر من كان حيا ويحق القول على الكافرين
That he may warn him who is alive and establish an argument against those that deny the truth. That he may warn him who is alive. He who is alive refers to him who thinks and understands, unlike a piece of stone. Such people who are devoid of understanding and feeling are truly pieces of stone. No matter how reasonably a distinction is made between truth and falsehood before them, and no matter how sincerely a person tenders sincere advice to them, they are unmoved. For they neither hear nor understand, nor do they budge an inch from their position.
أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ
Do they not see our handiwork? We created for them cattle which they own. Do they not see our handiwork? The word handiwork has been used here with regard to God in a figurative sense. This usage does not necessarily mean that God has a body and that, like human beings, he works with his hands. Recourse has been made to this word to emphasize that God himself created all these things, that no one had any part in God's act of creation.
وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ
We have subjected the cattle to them, so that some of them they ride, and eat the flesh of others.
وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ وَمَشَارِبُ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ
They derive a variety of benefits and drinks from them. Will they then not give any thanks? They derive a variety of benefits and drinks from them. Will they then not give any thanks? Ingratitude consists in crediting someone other than the true benefactor as the source of the bounty that one has received, or giving thanks for it to anyone other than him, or expecting or seeking it from anyone other than him. In like manner, using God's bounty in ways that do not please him also amounts to ingratitude. Therefore, a polytheist, unbeliever, hypocrite, or transgressor cannot be regarded as God's grateful servant merely because he verbally thanks God. The Meccan unbelievers did not deny that God had created their cattle. They also did not contend that any of their idols had a role in creating them. Yet, they thanked their gods for the bounties conferred upon them by God, offering them sacrifices and invoking them for the bestowal of further bounties. This therefore made their verbal expression of gratitude to God meaningless. They were therefore branded as thankless.
وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ
They set up deities apart from Allah, hoping that they will receive help from them.
لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون.
Those deities can render them no help, yet these devotees act as though they were an army in waiting for them. Yet these devotees act as though they were an army in waiting for them. That is, those idols were dependent on their devotees for their existence, security, and other needs. If not for the hordes of these devotees, they could not have survived for a day. These devotees served them as though they were an army in waiting for them who set up and decorated their shrines. They carried out propaganda campaigns to exalt them and to turn people into their zealous supporters. They went about quarreling and fighting on their behalf. It is thanks to a combination of these factors that the godhead of these deities flourished. Had these factors not been there, none would even care to utter their names. They are altogether unlike the one true God, whose sovereign control over the universe is not contingent on people's acknowledgement of Him as their Lord.
فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ.
Let not their words grieve you. Surely we know all things about them, what they conceal and what they reveal. Let not their words grieve you. Surely we know all things about them, what they conceal and what they reveal. This is addressed to the Prophet, peace be upon him. It has been said that we know all things about them, what they conceal and what they reveal. This alludes to the storm of false propaganda and the campaign of slander and calumny against the Prophet, peace be upon him, mounted by the Quraysh chiefs. They admitted in their private councils that their charges against the Prophet, peace be upon him, were baseless. Yet they dubbed him as a madman, a poet, a soothsayer, and a magician in order to prejudice people's minds against him. All the while, however, they knew in their hearts of hearts that they had fabricated false charges in order to discredit him. God therefore asks the Prophet, peace be upon him, not to lose heart on account of their slanderous campaign. Those who oppose the truth and cling to falsehood will be disgraced both in this life and in the next.
أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ.
Does man not see that we created him of a sperm drop, and lo, he is flagrantly contentious? Does man... This represents the Quranic response to the query posed by the unbelievers mentioned in verse 48 above. The unbelievers often asked, when will the last day come? Their true purpose in asking this question was not to find out the actual date of the last day's arrival. Rather, their intent was to depict the occurrence of resurrection as not only impossible, but also evidently irrational. Hence, arguments are put forward in response to the unbeliever's query to confirm that the hereafter is certainly possible. The traditions narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas, Qatada, and Sa'id ibn Jubair inform us that a Meccan chief once brought the bone of a dead man from a graveyard. He broke that bone into pieces and then scattered them into the air before the Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked, O Muhammad, you say that the dead will be raised to life after death? Now, who will bring this disintegrated bone back to life? The verse in question was instantly revealed in response to this query. That we created him of a sperm drop, and lo, he is flagrantly contentious. A drop of semen, which simply contained the basic germ of life, was of little significance as such. It is, however, God who made it grow and then endowed it with life. Thanks to God's will, it began to move about and derive nourishment, and was also granted myriad faculties of consciousness and reason, of understanding and argumentation, of speech and effective articulation, faculties which had not been conferred on any other living species. All this carried man to such heights of vanity as to make him bold enough to argue even with God.
وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ.
He strikes for us a similitude and forgot his own creation. He says, who will quicken the bones when they have decayed? He strikes for us a similitude. The unbelievers mistakenly consider God to be helpless, somewhat like the creatures which he created. As man himself cannot resurrect the dead, he suffers from the illusion that God too does not have the power to do so,
and forgot his own creation.
The unbelievers forget that God caused their birth out of a lifeless drop of semen and then let them grow into a speaking, thinking creature. Disregarding all this, man indulges in specious argumentation before God.
قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ.
Say, he who first brought them into being will quicken them. He knows well about every kind of creation.
الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوقِدُونَ.
He who created from a green tree a fire for you, a fire to light your stoves with.
He who created from a green tree a fire for you, a fire to light your stoves with.
This either means that God has granted such characteristics to green trees that man is able to use them as fuel, or else it is an allusion to the two well-known trees called marh and ufar, trees whose wood easily ignites. Arabs used to strike the green branches of these trees against one another, and this produced sparks. In olden times, Arab Bedouins employed this means to kindle fire, and maybe they continue to do so even today.
أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم.
He has who created the heavens and the earth no power to create the likes of them? Yes indeed, he is the superb creator.
إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون.
Whenever he wills a thing, he just commands it, be, and it is.
فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون.
Holy is he who has full control of everything, and to him you shall all be recalled.